Well, hello everybody and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to wish peace, love, and happiness to everybody listening to the sound of my voice. Got a lot that I want to jump into today, so I'm just going to jump right in. Couple of disturbing news headlines that I've been reading about regarding this country's reopening. And I'm seeing a lot of people talk about, well, it's only a 0.1% fatality rate when you take into consideration the population and the amount of cases that are out there. And to me, that all seems very callous. It's like, it might be a 0.1% fatality rate, but would you be saying something like that if that 0.1% happened to be your mother or your grandmother or your sister or your brother or your father? I mean, if you want to throw out numbers like that, would you still be throwing those numbers out if it was like one of your close family members? So I just want to just say, I would encourage everybody to not be so careless with the numbers. I know we all want to get out and get back to life as usual, but we got to take this thing slow. We have to do it carefully. Because that there's a number of people that are going to die from this virus, how many of those could have been prevented if it was just for like social distancing or wearing a mask or, you know, just staying home instead of trying to go out? It's a little nerve-wracking to hear like Georgia is trying to open up, and it just seems to me like it's targeting one particular group. When they're talking about opening Georgia, I really think they're only talking about opening up Atlanta. And then you hear that they want to open up the barbershops, the hair salons, and nail salons and things like that. I haven't heard anything about reopening tanning beds, or I haven't heard anything about DC going back to work. Like, that's still going to stay shut down. So I would be more inclined, if they want to open up the country, so to speak, let's get the senators and Congress back in Washington, because they're not going back for coronavirus fears. So that's kind of what I have to say about that. And then another little disturbing headline is I just read that Donald Trump is signing an order to force meatpacking plants to remain open, because they were discussing that they were going to close down because the workers weren't feeling safe and they've had lots of outbreaks in these, I guess it's Smithfield, meatpacking plants. And there's a fear that there's going to be a meat shortage coming up here soon. So I don't know. We'll go to the grocery store and not be able to get like steaks and burgers and sausage and things like that. I don't know. Maybe we have to all of us explore veganism at some point. But I think that's a little bit reckless too, though. Like, if you're going to sign an order to force people to go to work, to force people to put their life on the line, and are there any other guarantees in place? Are you going to take care of their families? Are you going to pay for possible funeral expenses or burial expenses or anything like that? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like this rush to get back to opening the country seems like it's hurting the, like, kind of like it always does. It hurts the working individuals more than it does the wealthy and the people that are well off. I mean, there are plenty of people that are, I mean, maybe it's just me because I'm the type of person that's, I'm totally fine with staying at home. I don't have to go out. I don't need to be in bars. Like, I shave my head bald, so I don't need barbers. Like, I am totally content with keeping my butt at home. And I know there's a lot of other people that's like that also, that they're just content to stay at home. But then there's some other people, like, they have to go out. They have to go somewhere. And that's just like a lifestyle that I've never understood. And now that we're facing this pandemic, everybody's trying to come up with every excuse that they can, it seems like, to just be able to get out of their house. So, and just taking a walk around your neighborhood isn't enough. Like, people want to go to bars, go to restaurants. I even saw a Facebook video. This is a young girl. She was like in her 20s or whatever. You could tell she was young, but she was like crying. I don't know if the video was staged or not, or if she was just doing it just for attention on social media, but like tears were streaming down her face. She's crying, talking about how bad it sucks. And she's like, I just want to go outside. I just want to go to the club. I just want to shake my butt. But she didn't use the word butt, you know, that type of thing. Like, is it have we really gotten to a place where we can't just be content with waiting this thing out at home? I mean, there are people in this country that have died, who have died, that didn't have to die. So if we want to talk about a 0.1 fatality rate for this thing, let's just remember we're talking about human beings, people. So, end of rant. This is the Uplifting Words podcast. I want to talk about uplifting things. One of the things that I've been doing that's been uplifting me, I have to admit it, I've given into this Animal Crossing game on the Nintendo Switch. Oh my goodness. I can't remember a game that has just kind of calmed and relaxed me. My wife has jumped on board. My son has jumped on board. He wants to play. So now we're in this conundrum where we're all fighting over playing this game. We're arguing over who gets it when, and when somebody gets home from work, everybody's got to clear out because they want to play the game. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing. And then I go online and I see all these people that may have been struggling with like some depression or some anxiety, just dealing with this COVID-19 situation. And this game comes out, and this game allows people to get rid of their anxieties and fears and their worries just by building a village, just by interacting with their neighbors on their island. Well, let me explain first. So you're dropped off into this deserted island. It's filled with like plants and some wildlife and like some trees and all kinds of things. You're tasked with building this island up, inviting new residents to join the island, and of course making money, but they're called bells, basically. You can also interact with other people on their own island. So you can kind of go to somebody else's island and have like a party. And people are being really, really creative on interacting with other people on this game. Like you could have anything from like a kitchenette set. You build a house. You start off with a tent, but you can end up building a house. You can end up building a house that's got multiple rooms. And, you know, people are getting real creative with having a room that's like that's set up for cooking, or that's set up for parties, or set up for a photo shoot. I've even seen people have like DJ sessions in this game, and they invite other people to their island, and they basically play music, and you have these emotes, basically. It causes your avatar to like maybe dance or be happy or be energetic or some things like that. I mean, and then the characters in this game, they're like these really cute little animals. I mean, this game is like visually beautiful. It is engaging in the activities that you have to partake in. And then it's still got that community aspect where you can go still talk to other people. You can visit other people. So it's kind of like this game came out at the perfect time. And I was also reading that this game is like Nintendo's number one seller of all time now. Just because of the perfect storm of this thing coming out. It was announced like last year. I think it was October. I think I saw the first couple of teaser videos of this game coming out. And people were hyped about it then, because apparently Animal Crossing is a long-running series. I think it's been around since like 2007 or something. It's been across multiple Nintendo systems. It's a Nintendo-exclusive game. But it's gone from like the Nintendo 3DS to like the GameCube, now on up into the Switch. And yeah, so me and my family have totally given in to this game. And we're finding it unbelievably fun. I mean, just walking through like with a net, and I'm like catching butterflies and getting stung by wasps, and we get to fish in the river and catch all kinds of fish. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about this game. So that's one definite bright spot of what we've been dealing with here. Other than fighting over who gets to play the game when, it's been an amazing, amazing experience. So how are you guys dealing with this? Like, what things are you doing? Are you drinking more because of this coronavirus pandemic? And I can say that yes. And you know my drink of choice is wine. So got my wine club. I've ordered a shipment or two since I'm holed up here, and I'm trying a couple of different wines. And like, I encourage everybody to just, you know, explore that thing. Like we still have time. And I don't believe now is the time to live in fear and live in anxiety. But if you are, take that time to discover something, like take the focus off of your anxiety and off of your fear and, you know, do something that might make you happy or that might calm you down. Could be playing video games, could be drinking wine, could be engaging with your family. Another thing too, shout out to my family that we can exist in the house and be around each other and we still like each other. We're not arguing, we're not fighting, we're not throwing things at each other. You know, we are able to coexist in this house, and it's not 100% all good because, you know, we all need that time away from each other so we can get on each other's nerves. But there are just some other horror stories about people, like, they don't like dealing with their family. And I think before all of this happened, it was easy to just kind of leave your house, or your time at work was your time away from your family or from your kids and things like that. But now, like, all of that stuff has been taken away. And a lot of us right now are forced to deal with things that we've been too busy to deal with. Like, we've had, like, all of the stuff stripped away from us, and we have to deal with ourselves. We have to deal with our family. We have to deal with the inner demons that's been plaguing us, that we've been putting other things in front of so we didn't have to deal with it. So I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk about some things that may be able to help you get through the inner demon fights, or getting through dealing with your family and your children and things like that. I want to make this as easygoing a time as possible, because, like I said, they're talking about reopening some cities, but the reopening of the country is just the first step. Just because they say that the lockdown is over, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have some challenges to deal with afterwards. I still believe that there's going to be a different way of life that we are all going to have to adapt to. And I don't think we're going to go back to how everything was before. So, like I said, quick break. I'm going to check on my island in Animal Crossing, actually, and I'll be right back. All right, everybody. Well, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. And, you know, shout out to technology, too, nowadays, because with this lockdown situation, you know, our entire families are at home, and I am finding it difficult to find a quiet place to record my podcast. So shout out to Anchor for giving me the ability to record on my cell phone, basically wherever I can find a quiet spot. So that's where I am now, and that's probably why the first half of the podcast might sound a little bit different than this half. So I'm talking about getting through this coronavirus and some things that need to take place in order for us to, you know, make it through this on the other side. So let me tell you a quick story. So there was this this king, and he tasked one of his followers to find him some birds. And he didn't want just any old regular birds. He wanted these specialty macaw birds, these gorgeous, brilliant birds that would be exclusive to the royal family, and people would know them when they saw them flying high above. And of course, the king wanted the birds for his garden so they could fly around and fly high so that the rest of the citizens could see them. So a merchant stops by and presents the king with these two beautiful macaw birds. And they're both just brilliant. They're both just singing. They've got their specialty call that their song that they sing. But there's just one problem. One of the birds takes to flying about the kingdom with no problem. The other bird just kind of sits there, and he doesn't jump off of his perch. He just stays on his perch. So, outraged, the king finds some of his other servants to try and get the bird off of the perch. And he brings in all kinds of people that's gifted in, like, psychiatry and hypnotists and bird whisperers, however you want to say that. But they all fail. None of them can get the bird to fly. Now, you got one bird that's flying high, singing and happily showing off his beautiful feathers and colors to the entire kingdom. And you got this one bird that's just sitting there on his perch. He's still beautiful. Still sitting there on his perch, though, but not showing off to the world how beautiful he is and
his wonderful, amazing song that comes from him. So, exhausted, the king goes through all of his servants that he can find, all of his high-quality servants. And then he finally comes across a farmer in his kingdom that says, hey, I can get the bird to fly, no problem. So, the farmer comes in, and he's with the bird for like 10 minutes. And suddenly the king looks up and he sees the second bird flying up and around, singing its song, showing off its beautiful feathers. The citizens of the kingdom are just amazed. And the king goes to the farmer and he says, how did you get this bird to fly? And he said, oh, it was easy. It took me a couple of seconds. All I did was cut the perch that he was sitting on. And that is what is happening to us as an entire country. Everybody, I believe, we have reached a level of comfort. We've reached a level of security, or kind of false security, of thinking that we know everything that's going to happen day by day. We got our routine set. We got our ways of going through the season set. And then all of a sudden, our perch has been cut out from underneath all of us. And this is something that's happening whether you're man, woman, black or white, Muslim or Jew or English or German or just anybody. Like, this is affecting the entire planet. Now, you've got two people. You've got the people that's going to be up there flying, singing their beautiful songs, showing off their gifts to the world, and who are going to thrive after this is over. And then you got the other people that's just going to fall down and just lay on the ground with their broken perch and just kind of perish in the ground. And I don't want anybody listening to this podcast to be part of that group. I want everybody to be up flying around in the sky. The kingdom is yours to fly around in. You're supposed to be sharing your songs, sharing your beautiful gifts, showing them off to the world. Like, we need to see that. So in order for us to do that, our security blanket has been taken away from us. For some of us, it's a little more detrimental than others, but our way of life has just changed as we know it. So one of the things that I can suggest doing in this particular time is, number one, not to panic. I believe that not panicking is probably the most important thing. This is something I'm trying to teach my son. You know, when you're younger, you kind of fly. It's easier for you to fly off the handle. You act off of emotions. It's easier to panic when things don't go exactly how you want them to go. But as you get older, and something that I've learned and something I've known for a while, as soon as you panic, you lose your mind. Once you lose your mind and you lose your senses, that's when you just make horrible decisions. That's when you just make decisions that invite even more disaster and chaos. So the first most important thing is, do not panic. Second most important thing is to renew your faith. Faith in God, faith in your own abilities, faith in your friends or family that can help you out. You've got to have some sort of something that you can lean on, whether it be, like I said, your faith, or whether it be building yourself up, whether it be investing back into you, learning more about you. You've got to be able to have that faith. Then you got to have faith that things are going to work out for the better. You've got to believe that even though if the world is burning around you, you've got to believe that you're going to be all right, that you're going to make it, that you're going to survive through this thing. And then the next thing, I believe, is to make sure that you're keeping in touch with friends and family, even if it's just text, phone call, video conferencing services. Like, they're exploding now. You've got companies like Zoom. Zoom is just completely taken off, because that's how everybody's keeping in contact. Facebook, Instagram, people doing Instagram lives and Facebook lives. I mean, we have the technology where we can keep in contact with each other. I don't believe that anybody should be going on alone during this time, even though physically we can't be next to each other. So keeping in touch with the people that's important to you, the people that you're closest to. And the next thing I believe that'll really help you out is really taking this time to invest in you, finding out things that you like, things that you don't like, where you want your life to go, where do you see yourself in like 5 years? This is the perfect opportunity to explore those questions and really come up with an answer, really come up with some ideas, some strategies, some goals. And this is also where my Uplifting Words Mastermind Productivity Journal comes in, where you can take 30 days and you can kind of map out your daily goals, your daily activities, what you get accomplished. And man, you'll be so far ahead of the curve just 30 days from now if you use this journal to your advantage. I fully believe now is the time to explore oneself. So that's kind of what I had for you guys there. I want to leave it there. Wanted to just drop a quick one today. It is a little bit later than I hoped, but I hope that you can find some kind of solace and comfort during these times, because it's getting crazier. It feels like it's getting crazier. And the fact that some country or some cities, some states are opening and some areas are protesting, like people want to be free. I understand that. I was part of a discussion on Facebook, and there are some people saying, yeah, it's the 0.1%. And I'll just say it all the time. Like, would you be so callous about that 0.1% if that happened to include your close family member? If that was your mother or your sister or your one of your children? I mean, just think about it. Everybody's saying, yeah, it's like the flu. It's only killing 0.1% of the people. That's horrible. That to me is an unacceptable number, especially when just the simple fact of staying home can prevent somebody from dying. We're not talking about somebody that's like sick and they're on their way out anyway. Like, that's a totally different conversation. I'm talking about people who would otherwise be healthy if not for the fact that somebody needs to go out to go to the hairdresser or to the barber, or they just want to get out of the house, or they want to go to the beach. I mean, that to me is super selfish. I'm sorry. And I know the country needs to get back up and running. I know businesses need to make money. But to me, if you think about it, the haste that with this country is trying to reopen just speaks to our dependence on this capitalistic society. It's like we're valuing money more than human life. And the fact that people can sit here and say it's just 0.1% of the population that's going to die, to me, that's an awful thing to say. Especially when that 0.1% can be an even lower number if we just crack down on the staying at home. Like I said before, I'm one of those people that's just fine with staying at home. This lockdown is not really causing me to lose my mind. I'm that type of person. I don't need to go out. I don't have to. I got to be out. I got to be around people. I got to go get this and that done. Like, no, I'm totally fine with just taking a step back, taking a breather, and using this time to set up the next season of my life. I mean, that to me is the most important. This is the time. This is the break. I've even been asking for it. Before all of this happened, I was the type of person that was like, wow, when is life going to slow down and allow me to catch my breath? When is this gonna kind of slow down for me? It's slowed down. Like, this is the time. And I'm taking the necessary steps to find out more about me. I'm closer with my wife, closer with my son, closer with my kids. I mean, to me, this is a wonderful time. Like, I love this time. We don't have to get up and rush anymore. So, but I understand people, they have to get out. They're not in the same situation that I'm in. They don't feel things the same way that I do. And they got to be on the go, and they got to be doing this and doing that. I totally get it. One of the things about me you'll find out is I am totally okay with seeing both sides of the argument and being able to empathize with different opposing points of view, because I truly can see both sides. I can truly see people not wanting to stay home. But anyway, listen to the doctors, everybody. Listen to the healthcare professionals. I know everybody's chomping at the bit to get things back going, but if staying home can prevent even one person from dying, then to me it's worth it. So I don't know if you're in that group that says it's just a 0.1%. If you are in that group, just think about it. If it was one of your close family members and they died when they did not have to. So that's what this is about. That's what the stay-at-home orders are about to me. So everybody keep your head up. Eventually, we will get through this. This will be over, and it'll be written about in the history books. We'll go back and revisit it. And like I said, after this, things are going to be different. The way that we interact with each other is going to be different. The way that we gather in large gatherings is going to be different. Just because states lift up their stay-at-home orders, that does not mean that things are just going to magically go back to how they were before. So keep that in mind also. We're kind of in this for the long haul, everybody. So you better adapt. You better learn how to change. You better learn how to keep up with the times, or you're just going to be left there laying beside that cut off perch, and you're just going to perish. You're going to be rolled over by, I guess it's going to be the new world. I'm not going to say new world order because I don't believe in such things like that, but the world's going to be different on the other side of this. So, all right, everybody, have a wonderful weekend. Hope to see you guys on my new blog. Just go check out the number 9, W, number 6, E.com. And that's going to be where I share some things about my wine, about my coffee. I talk about Harry Potter. I talk about Pokemon Go. I talk about all kinds of things. It's going to be like my new central hub for my thoughts and my ideas. I'm also going to add a place where you can pick up a copy of the Uplifting Words Mastermind Productivity Journal. And yeah, I encourage everybody to jump on a Facebook Live, go Instagram Live, or you know, you can invite other people to interact with you, and you can share ideas and share information. Like we all have something we can share, and this technology is the perfect vehicle for us to be able to do that. So everybody have a wonderful weekend, wonderful evening. Thank you very, very much for joining me. Keep your heads up, everybody. We will prevail. We will definitely prevail. And I'll see you guys in the next one.